One of the interesting circumstances of our being together is that we take time to actually focus on the Lord. Now, it's nice to be together. You guys love one another. You mix well. You look nice. But we actually come for the purpose of encountering the Lord and to have our thinking challenged by the way He thinks. Because we've been trained in our thinking and our patterns outside the kingdom. The theme I'm going to take us through today, I'm entitling God Thoughts.
Overcome.
Because His thoughts, our thoughts are not His thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. In a congregational mix like this, we have the right brains and the left brains. We have the phlegmatics and we have the gregarious. And so it takes a variety of ways to communicate, to touch everybody. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning that some of you are going to feel is a bit silly, but you'll do it anyway. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and listen. And I'm going to read you a letter from God to you. And it's going to challenge your thinking. But I want you to hear it and understand that His arms are always open to you regardless of where you are. Whatever it is you've been involved in this week, your Father is bigger than that. So I'm going to read you a letter. I just want you to close your eyes and hear your daddy talk. You may close them now. And just concentrate on the words. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I've been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you're my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect Father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand of the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I'm able to do more for you than you can possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I'm also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you're brokenhearted, I'm close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you've suffered in this earth. I'm your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I'm for you, not against you, and to tell you that I'm not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God. We're going to receive the tithes and offerings for this week in just a moment. But I want you to think about something. Why do we do this? So the preacher can make his car payment? No. So we can repair the air conditioning when it breaks? No. Spiritual orphans claim everything for themselves. They have no father, they have no inheritance, they have no future, they have only today. But the children of God are the managers of God's inheritance in the earth. At the pool party last night, I was watching a couple of different moms at different times do the... Where are they? And so I went and I asked them, do you remember when you used to be able to go to the pool without having that sudden shot of fear? Where are they? When you assume responsibility in a household, necessarily you surrender personal freedom. It's part of the price you pay for beginning to build an inheritance in your generation. When we come into the realization of being the heirs of our Father, we begin to align ourselves with His agenda through His households in the earth. It's His intention that we become like Him, not merely saved and going to heaven someday, but manifesting who God is in the earth through that particular presentation that only you can provide. And part of who He is generous. He causes His rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. He lets the sun shine on the evil and the good because He knows that it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Part of what religion does for us is to make us against them, whoever them are. It might be them Presbyterians. It might be them Catholics. It might be them other Pentecostals. It might be those unsaved people. But what the Spirit of God does is pours our life out like an offering for everyone. When we demonstrate through the act of giving, we're acknowledging the ownership of God of our lives and the responsibility of the stewardship of His resources through our lives, because He has an agenda for every household. Don't lose sight of those realities when somebody says, we're going to take up the tithes and offering, tip God and go. Orphans, tip God and go. The children of God align with their Father's intention. So we're going to do that. That's the God thought on that. I want to pull on a particular thread today. And it's an issue associated with Jesus that's relevant to us because we represent the Lord. I told you I wanted to pursue the theme of God thoughts. And Sarah's going to assist me by throwing my PowerPoints up there and let me talk at you for a little bit. Because I want to provoke our thinking. You know, one of the constant battles we have as believers is making the transition from believing to following. And in following, there are insecurities that awaken in us because we're very familiar with the frailty of our own flesh. Now, in the circumstances of trying to engage with the Holy Spirit, awakening to this issue of God speaking to someone through someone. Now, for the benefit of those of you who don't recall or haven't heard, the practical definition I have of the prophetic makes a lot of sense, since it's God speaking to someone through someone. Now, if you run quickly through your Bible memories, whenever a prophet stood up, God was speaking to someone through that particular personality. And that same phenomenon occurs whenever the Spirit of God is communicating through another human being to another human being, whether it's at a national, international, or personal level. But with people like you, there's this self-disqualification that comes based on what you know about you. So I ask the question, why do people hesitate? Well, they have this uncertainty. May I speak? Because in some situations,
I suffer not a woman to speak.
You think Paul was really dumb enough to think you could get a woman to hush? Really? Something different about that generation in the... forget it. But there are structural circumstances that work against empowering people into obedience in the Holy Spirit. May I? Well, can I? You know, will God actually speak through me? And since we conclude He can't possibly speak through me because I have thus and so, we never really man up for the things that God intends for you as His representative. How about the guilt consciousness? Oh, Pastor, if you knew what I'd done. Oh, shut up. Jesus took care of that business on the cross. And if you allow condemnation to be the thing that governs your thinking, then you're completely out of alignment with what the atonement of Christ actually means. Jesus has set you free from the guilt and shame of sin. Now, if your feet get dirty, wash them. But don't think, because your feet are dirty, you're disqualified from doing anything else in the life of God. How about inexperience? One of my fun memories, for me personally and those who will tell it, when I start teaching on the prophetic and they start saying, okay, well, the Bible says, and I guess I should, and Lord, I don't know if you will, but I'm available if you want to say. Their heart starts beating. Their throat gets thick. Their tongue gets dry. Their hands start to sweat, and they think, oh, that's just me. In the learning experience, I want you to know that you're free to fail here. You understand me? It's okay if you mess up. Because I'd rather have you messing up moving toward obedience than never moving at all. Because we will learn as we grow. And we've been doing this now for a long, long time. So we've got some safeguards built in to keep you from being diminished in your efforts to obey God. Boredom.
Well, I've done that so many years. I'm going to take the day off.
Let me tell you how grateful I am God does not take a day off, because I have no confidence of us without His restraining hand. Well, I tried that once and they rebuked me from the pulpit.
That's one of the reasons I don't want you standing up saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the Yankees are going to lose the pennant."
We're probably going to adjust that just a little bit.
But I happen to be graced with some elements of the prophetic. But I know many pastors who don't perceive themselves to be that at all. And so they're always threatened by those kinds of people. And in the way some of those folks have been trained, they've been trained to be threatening as a motif of presentation. That's not how we do it here. I think that one of the things that has happened in this last 25 years in the prophetic, the restoration of the prophetic in this culture, is that people have substituted skill and accuracy for the love of God that should communicate the word of the Lord. I'm personally appalled at some of the things that take place in the name of the prophetic east of the Mississippi River. I'm more familiar with that than west of the Mississippi. But some of the stuff that's been going on east of the Mississippi, I just, drop the chocolate, back away slowly, nobody will get hurt. Don't be near what's going on there. So in our context here, for years, the vision statement has been discipling believers into the works of Jesus. Why? Because a good many of us were raised in talk religion, not do religion. That is, they explained away the supernatural and told us, basically, come to church, go to heaven when you die. But Jesus represents the Father with words and works. And he says that the works authenticate his resurrection. They authenticate his promises. They demonstrate the reality of the Father working through him. So discipling people into the works of Jesus carries with it a certain measure of momentum, an expectancy about the way you will live and move through life. Some of the insecurities we have is because we don't know what to say in the moment. We don't know how to approach the person we just had a thought about. I want to help some of you get past that, because we have others who are already past it, and they can help mentor us in this. I want you to be skilled and not clumsy. A skill saw is a wonderful tool in the hands of somebody who knows how to use it. Otherwise, it's the hand and the skill saw. In our challenge that Jesus is our model, there are certain things about his life that are a bit intimidating. You will recall that Jesus was ascribed by many, including himself, as a prophet of God. Now, when someone says a prophet of God, what you usually hear is a prophet of God. And they walk in from the mountains and point their finger at you and declare judgment on your city. Not so much anymore. But if Jesus is our model, and the prophetic dynamic of his life is part of our reality, we have to come to grips with what that means personally. Now, I read you the letter earlier because I wanted to begin to confront the way you think about yourself and the Father. Because every sentence I read was rooted in a passage of Scripture. Something that he has said in his heart about you. And sometimes when that truth is coming at us, we grab the top of the garbage can and a dirty mop and we fend off the truth. Because we're more familiar with the dirt and garbage than we are with the truth of God. I'll swear sometimes these illustrations come to me, they seem almost inspiring. Wasn't that visual? But the Father has received you. And it may be that no one else has ever received you in your life. It might be rejection is all you've ever known because you've been so weird, so irregular, so didn't fit. Or you fit and bit. But God, your Father, has given to you the spirit of adoption. And there is an irrepressible testimony within you that says, I'm a child of God. Now, you may not know what to do with that, but that testimony is there, and you can't deny it. The point of that investment in you is that you would learn to be led by that Spirit. Because responding to the leadership of the Spirit is part of the responsibility that comes once you begin to host His presence inside your skin. In the other dynamic, the Father desires to speak through you. Look at this passage in John and notice how many times Jesus says the Spirit will disclose it to you. Disclose it to you. Disclose it to you. Do you get the impression He wants to show you something? And you're persuaded He'll do that through somebody else, won't He? Look at somebody and say, you must be the somebody else. See there? There you are. You're all on the hook now. In our context, one of the things that routinely we will ask is, are you available? Are you available to the one who redeems you to be trained by Him for His purposes through you? Or are you just simply waiting for the bus to come and get out of here? I don't know about you, but sitting on the bus bench for the next 40 years has no interest to me. There's no appeal there. You ever sat on a bunch bench? You know, a bus bench? Yeah, you ought to get up here and stumble over your tongue. See how it happens. Moses and the burning bush. Okay? A little girl said to me, Mama said, I can't talk like that. I said, I didn't say that. I want us to try to sift through some of our thinking. Because you read things in the Bible and you kind of ascribe them to something else. Now, Jesus does give to His church these personalities that He has equipped with His Spirit who have a certain task on His behalf within the body of Christ. And He calls these people prophets. Now, how many of you recognize you're not a prophet? Well, then there's a lot of prophets here, apparently. We're fixing to fix that. But all may prophesy. Now, who's all? God gives prophets to the church, and all may prophesy. But are all prophets? No, they're not. But all may prophesy. So prophesying does not necessarily make you a prophet, does it? No. You know what prophets are for? Their primary function in the body of Christ is this: to demonstrate how to hear God and to confirm that you do hear God. Because their job is not necessarily to go prophesy to the nations, although I have several bona fide prophets in my life, and sometimes they are sent to do exactly that. But they're given primarily to equip you to do the works of Jesus. The problem to draw forth out of you that element of the prophetic that God has invested in you because He intends to speak to somebody through you. Any of you ever received a prophecy that encouraged you and confirmed you? Look at this. Now, aren't you glad somebody had the guts to say, you know, I sense the Lord saying, other times, I have in my files somewhere a letter. It's about 4 pages long. And the first 2 paragraphs are an apology for what the next 4 pages are going to say. And it came from a young woman who was an intercessor on behalf of my family early in our ministry career. In fact, we were still trying to decide if we were going to actually get out of the military and stay here. I was 20 days into the fast when the letter arrived. And then for 3.5 pages, she wrote what was in my heart that I had never expressed to anybody. I knew right then there was no hope for me. Is it okay to desire to prophesy? Well, Paul admonishes us to pursue the love that comes from God and to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Because when you prophesy, you encourage the whole church. Now, let's look at this together. There's a little synopsis of what I have just run through in Scripture, and it says, Jesus is a prophet. I have a prophet living inside me. Not all are prophets, but all may prophesy. All may prophesy, therefore what? I'm sorry, what? And who is I? Is that an amen or oh me? May you prophesy, Sarah? Yes, you may. How about it, Sandra? Yes, you know why? Because the Bible says so. Isn't that awful? It's just terrible. How many of you know there's some passages you just like to white out? Isn't that right? Just quit being annoyed by them. All righty. Where does Jesus live?
Me.
So there's a prophet inside of you. Is he clumsy? Is your presentation of him clumsy? Okay. Well, we're going to refine that starting today for those of you who are actually available. Now, in my training over the years, both personally and that which I've led this bunch through, I had to find a way to counteract some of the, in my opinion, foolishness that was taking place in the prophetic. I have pastor friends who have said to me, I won't have those people in my congregation. Because there was a certain group of them, they would close down for the summer and they would send all of prophets, training prophets, send them, scatter them out through the churches to bring the word of the Lord to people who don't know them, have not tested their character or fruit, and who generally left a mess in their trail. Now, these are my colleagues and those who are the gatekeepers of congregations having to fight off the prophetic word of the Lord from unskilled people who come in and trample their garden. And so in looking for a symbol of how we are going to minister the grace of God, I took the example of Jesus with the basin and the towel. In this house, and any of you who choose to prophesy outside this house once you're trained here, Your model is the basin and the towel. You go in to wash the feet of those you're ministering to. You go in to speak encouragement and comfort and strength to them. You do not point your finger. You do not bring railing accusation. You do not point out their sins. Because in the New Testament church, we prophesy to edify, encourage, and comfort. Do you follow me? So there are certain things I just simply don't allow here. I just won't have you pointing people's sins out. Even if the Lord shows you something, you're not free to speak it. Come to one of your mentors and we'll show you how to handle that. Because let me tell you something. People don't need you to tell them that they have sin in their life. Okay? What they need to hear is hope that they can be free. That's what they need to hear. So we are the purveyors of hope, you know. The Lord shows me that this man is, he's running around on his wife. Now, it's not, these things are not hidden from the Lord, okay? Do you think he needs me to tell him, God shows me you're a multiple adulterer? Does he need to hear that? No, what does he need to hear? He needs to hear that God understands that there are struggles in his life and that those struggles are not hidden from his eye. But he's communicating to me in this moment that he's extending his hand of redemption toward you. And that if you will respond and move towards your Father and leave whatever these acts of carelessness or mischief might be behind, he's ready to receive you, empower you, and redirect your life. Now, did I just address his sin? I certainly did. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I know he knows. But we handed him an olive branch. Peace with God. Come forth out of this thing. So the Lord communicated clearly and offered him hope. Now, if he chooses to reject that, I'm just going to tell you from experience, that's a bad call. Because if you won't listen, you have to feel. But here, we speak hope. We refresh and encourage. That's always going to be the attitude. Well, I've got anything to say about it. Now, one of the things that I've had some very talented prophetic people pass through here. And one of the most clear speakers had one of the biggest wounds in their soul. And so there was always this broken glass edge to everything that they did. Somebody was going to bleed every time they got involved in it. In the course of history, there was a small enclave of them who gathered together. There were two things that bound them: their interest in the prophetic and their hatred of men. Ultimately, we had a prophetic uprising here, and it was a year and a half before I'd let anybody speak again. And in that year and a half, I began to relay the foundations of God's grace and how things will be accomplished here. Any of you ever had your oil changed? I was driving behind somebody today before yesterday. Clearly, they had skipped it for a long, long time. But when I was a young man, I'd slide underneath the car and wrestle the thing open and drain the oil and then fight with the filter with a wrench that would slip. And healed. Another way to do it, and I've seen this overseas a lot, is you drive your car up onto a ramp right alongside the road. And the big oil spills right alongside the road where people just come and do that. And then there are certain places where you go, the guy climbs down into a pit, and you drive the car over the top of him. And there are other places where they lift it up on a ramp. Now, those are four different administrations to get the same job done. Lots of people administrate the prophetic in their context however they choose. They can get down on the floor and wrestle with it. They can let it be raised up on a lift. I'm all for lifting it up. But as long as the job gets done, the administration can vary according to the different approaches, okay? What we do here has been ironed out over 35 years of experience. Not, maybe 3 years ago. A prophetic person wandered in, moved into the community, decided we were going to be their church. That lasted about 3 weeks. Because they insisted on doing things their way. I had a visiting minister up here and his wife, and it's our pattern that when we're hosting some folks, I'll bring our prophetic ministers together and we'll seek to encourage and strengthen and comfort them. And the testimony of traveling ministers who are widely experienced, they say this: we would rather have your people prophesy over us than any place we've ever been. Now, that's a pretty strong statement of the grace that attends us here. But this woman came up here, virtually unknown to us, to interject herself into the situation. And I caught her whispering in their ear. I said, excuse me just a second. Whatever you have, I'd like you to bring over here to our prophetic lead. Okay? So she comes over and says to our prophetic lead, I don't know why he wants me over here, because when God speaks to me, my responsibility is to say what God's saying, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it's not for you, it's for them. So she wanders over to this side and tries it from over here. And I said, hold that. What did they just tell you? Okay. You need to go sit down. She not only didn't sit down, she left. It made my life a lot easier. But do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Everything is subject to judgment, because we speak edification, exhortation, and comfort. And these things should be done decently and in order. And it's going to be judged. Okay? Now, over the years, we've had to look inside and say, what is it that God is doing in this congregation? What, when we look at His activity, what do we see? What do we value? And along the way, we embrace the notion that it's not a matter of smart shepherds and dumb sheep. Y'all heard that phrase before? Okay. It's the man of God or the woman of God that's close to God that needs to do the God stuff. And if God's going to move, it's going to be through. Please. Equipping the saints for their works of service means that the Father gives us these folks so we can stand up in the grace that attends us. That's what ministry is. It's not about the guys and gals up front. It's about those who are being equipped by them to do what God is going to hold you accountable for when you stand alone before Him. Look, I want you to shine on that day. I want you to have a lot of obedience badges. You know? I want you to say with Paul, I have finished my course. I have run my race. There is now set before me a crown. And I want it to have lots of jewels in it. My wife maintains hers is going to be really heavy for having lived with me. A commitment to individual ministry and maturity. I expect you to grow up. I really do. I expect you to grow up. You know, a six-month-old that's wearing a diaper is kind of cute. A 26-year-old wearing a diaper ain't near as cute. That's right. Now it's 86-year-olds wearing diapers. I forget. In this process, I try to give you responsibility, because responsibility is one of the few things that will actually help you grow up. Okay? When you're irresponsible, you make your own decisions anytime you feel like it. You go wherever you want to, whenever you feel like it. How many of you can remember, you young parents, you young marrieds who are now parents, how many of you can remember, you could just say, why don't we go get a pizza? Jump in the car and go get a pizza. And now you've got 2, 3 or more, and you'd just rather stay home. It's just too much effort to get in the car. Okay. Once you begin to assume responsibility, there's a different way you approach life. And those responsibilities begin to draw things out of you, or bring things to the surface in you. That's also part of growing up. In our efforts to respond intelligently to what the Scripture challenges us, we reach the conclusion that we need to make a commitment to living discipleship. Now, that word is kind of power-packed, because a lot of us have had very negative responses to discipleship. Any of you ever sat in a classroom with your book and fill in the blank part, and they call that discipleship? I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. But I can find it in evangelical churches, because we think knowledge is discipleship. Come here, Casey. Come here, Brian. Face one another. Okay. Casey is going to be praying for Brian. All right. Now, pray for him. Okay. Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Because you never know how abused Brian has been by that monster father of his. Who beats him unmercifully when nobody's looking. I'm kidding. But you never know who's standing in front of you. So what do? You ask them if it's okay. May I take your hand or touch your shoulder or in some other way? Because you want their permission to approach them. And if you don't think it matters, go stand in an elevator full of French people. I'm not through with the two of you. Okay. Now, one of the things about touch is this. Sometimes, the moment you touch them, the revelatory realm opens up and you begin to see things. Okay? And so, Casey would say to him, would it be all right if I took your hand?
Would it be all right if I took your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Now we've got physical contact. And sometimes, the activity of the Holy Spirit begins as soon as this contact is made. And you will either hear, see, smell, or sense. Because all those senses that are yours naturally also function supernaturally. And so, Casey touches him, and immediately he's overpowered by the smell of tobacco, which is a manifestation of discerning of spirits. And so Casey says to him, are you struggling with some kind of issue in your life? Something that's kind of taken you captive? Maybe you're hiding it from people?
Yeah.
Great.
Well, that was easy. I expected him to say no. Because I'm getting this. Do you smell tobacco? I smell tobacco.
Yeah.
Thank you both. Now, there was none of this in that. Please. Style. It's just God speaking to someone through someone. It doesn't require handstands running across the back of the pew. You don't have to speak in the King James English. You don't have to roll your eyes back in your head. You know, just be you. Speaking for him to someone without scaring the pee out of them, okay? I'm so disappointed. I thought for sure that would get a Lanny Dale.
She ran out.
All right. Well, there's a lot of stuff here, but what I'm trying to do is to begin to pull on this thread and attach it to you. There is an umbilical cord from eternity that is fastened into your spirit, and communication is possible because God makes it possible. Now, one of the things that you learn when we try to teach you how to hear God's voice is that often people are thinking, he's going to knock me off my donkey and I'm going to hear this roll of thunder from heaven. No, more than likely, it's going to be a thought that alights on your mind. I was in the watch Friday night, and there was a young woman who came in right at the end. And she left before I could get to her. But when I glanced in her direction, I saw something that I was going to report to her. I saw her standing at the beginning of a crevice, and the crevice opened wider the farther you went. And at some point in your walk, you're going to have to decide which side you're going to walk on, because you can't keep divided. And so, had she not run out, I would have called that to her attention and suggested that maybe she was headed for a crisis decision in her life, about a decision God was requiring of her, and she knew she was struggling with it. And he knew that she's struggling with it, and sent her that message to let her know he's paying close attention. But fortunately, she came this morning, so I got to obey. I'm going to give you opportunity to respond to the Lord today, so that you can have an encounter with Him. Now, not all of you will, I understand that. But if you're willing to be available to the Lord, to have Him speak through you, I'm going to ask you in a few moments to stand where you are, and then I'm going to ask Him to show you something. Then we're going to worship for a little bit, and then we're going to ask you what you saw. Okay? Now, I would like Louise to stand up here. Louise presently heads our prophetic ministry department. Not that we ever talk about it like that, but you understand the metaphor. And we have those who we have designated as prophetic team leaders. So if I could get Marie and Peggy and Linnea and Mary up here. Now, I want you to understand, these are not drive-by prophetic folks. These are they who knew God's call on them was that, and they have stuck with it for years, all right? So they have been refined in their experience and their understanding, because I'm telling you, once you begin to say yes to the Lord, whew, the ride gets wild at times. But He will show you stuff that will change your understanding. And here's one of the interesting things to me about this. I love this analogy because I grew up with screen doors. Anybody ever been around a screen door? Well, we had this big 4-foot fan in the top of our shack down in Alabama, so we could draw that high humidity air right through the house. But on windy days, the leaves in the yard would get stirred up and they would get stuck to the screen door. Can y'all picture that? Okay. Now, here's what I've learned about God in ministry. If I happen to be standing there representing Him to someone in a moment, and He chooses to come with, let's say, His compassion, God's compassion moves upon this person. Something happens in me as a result of Him doing that. Because when I am overcome with His compassion and I administer that moment of grace to that individual, compassion gets lodged in me like leaves against that screen door, because it's just, I was there when it passed through. You follow me? Change will occur when you assume your place at the Lord's side, because He will affect change in who you are. In this moment, I haven't thought of this in years, but in this moment, I remember I was administrating a meeting. I was on the road with Mahesh, and I happened to turn, because I was setting up the healing line, and I happened to turn, and here is this giant black man coming down the aisle. I mean, this guy was huge. Tall enough to be a basketball player, but meaty enough to be a weightlifter. One of those guys. And it was just like this. I looked in that direction, and I saw him coming in tears, and in the spirit I saw him bound in chains with the balls of chain, the old stuff, the great big iron balls the chain was attached to. And he's coming and coming and coming this way, and as I started to reach toward him to make a place for him up here, he collapsed on the floor and I collapsed on top of him, weeping uncontrollably. The grace of God for this, I was interceding in the mercy of God over this guy. And it was just spontaneous. But that memory lives in me, and the moment of transformation that occurred as I wept over him is still part of who I am. And so there are things about this that's bigger than you. It's not about you. It's about the Father through you, but you've got to get past you to get to the Father. Now, these folks have with them team members. And whoever the rest of the team members are, I'd like you to come up here and stand with them. I want you to acknowledge that there's a certain measure of order in here simply because we've decided which way we're going to change the oil. And since oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, I kind of like that one. Now, I'm going to ask you if you're available. Doesn't mean God's going to do anything other than to check out your availability. Because we speak when He speaks, and if He doesn't speak, we don't speak. Because you don't want to put a lying spirit in your mouth, because then you have to feel. But if you choose to do that, these folks are going to stand with you today. There she is. I knew you were here someplace. And they will kind of mentor you through the moment. Now, do me a favor. If that starts, and this starts, and that starts,
don't say, that's just me.
Let's assume that God will actually move through you.
Right, Jeannie?
I'm always so excited when we do this. She always gets something, she never wants to share it. One of the things that I think would benefit you every day for the rest of your life is simply to say this. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Now would be a good time to start. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. With absolute confidence and expectancy that you will do what Jesus does through the followers of Jesus, because you will disclose things. They will be His things, and you will disclose them to us because He wants to encourage and strengthen and manifest His love through us to someone else. So we welcome you, Lord. We welcome you to do what only you can do. We are the human instruments. You are the divine design through us. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to put Jesus the prophet on display and to encourage those who have a heart to hear. Alrighty, here's what I want to do. Those of you who are willing to be available to the Lord, just in case He might want to say something through you, go ahead and stand up. Or stay seated and raise one hand. She's got a crutch and a cast. All right. Now, this bunch right here is saying to the Lord, I'm available to you to speak through me. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask them to put their thoughts toward God and see what He would say to them for someone. Because there are those here who need to be encouraged today. The Father, I sanctify these to you in this moment, and they're saying, Lord, I'd really like to know if what He's talking about actually works for me. Well, Father, here they are. Meet them, I pray. Manifest yourself through them for the comfort and strengthening and encouragement of others in Jesus' name. Now, if you're willing to go farther than that, I invite you to come stand with these guys and they'll get in the mix with you, and then we'll see what the Lord will do next. You're not obligated to come just because you stood, but if you're willing, come stand with them. All right, you team leads and team members, spread out among this bunch because the next step is coming. You're not here to pray over them. They're here to pray with you over somebody else. All right, now all of you listen to me. It's not uncommon. I want you to be facing that way. Those of you who just walked up here, I want you to face the wall behind the musicians, okay? It is not uncommon that when you are representing the Lord, for instance, if I were to be up here and the prophetic grace was moving, it would not be uncommon for me to look out on a sea of faces and see only one face. Now, what do you think it means when I look out in a sea of faces and see only one face? The Lord is targeting someone. Okay, He wants to speak to them. And so I'm going to let my attention drift in that direction because there's something going on right there. Okay? I may not know what it is until I actually take their hand. But then something will begin to come. Which is a little bit different than open wide your mouth and I will fill it. I've actually seen people take that and go. What I'm going to ask the Lord to do is I'm going to have you turn around. You're going to face the crowd. And if a face captures you, I just simply want you to beckon them to you. Okay? And then we will pray and see what the Lord will say. All right? Is that a good visual? Okay, thank you. Louise has a couple of drills, but this one just dropped into me. Okay. Now, let me talk to the other guys. Do y'all appreciate the fact that they might feel a little anxious? So, let me ask this of you. If they turn and beckon you forward, how about not doing this? Because they already feel silly enough as it is. How about just cooperating, just for today? Yes, Pastor Dear would be good. All right, super. All right, Father, I ask you to open the eyes of discernment that as they turn, you identify those you wish to speak comfort and encouragement and edification to today. And we will offer them our testimony of your affirmation on their lives. Okay, those of you who have come forward, turn and look. All right, those of you who are looking, who sees someone you feel like you should beckon? I don't know who all these people are, so you might need to be more direct. Is it a male or a female? It's Doug. Oh, okay. Well, if you know the name, it's okay to say it. Mm-hmm. Who else? Hold it right here. I've got somebody prophesying without a mentor. One of the prophetic team will stand with you. That means somebody needs to be standing with Kelly. You got it. All right. Somebody needs to be with Tim. Somebody needs to... Peggy, you got that? Okay. You need somebody over there with Wayne. All right. Shall we go a little farther? If it doesn't involve you, can we go a little farther? All right. Those of you who would like to place a demand upon the anointing to see if God would speak to you, go ahead and stand up. You would like to receive a word. Okay. All Right? Those of you who are not presently engaged, these folks want you to incline your ear toward the Lord for them. So those of you out here, come stand in front of one of them. And it will suddenly become three. Team members, take two people with you for each of these who are coming. For those of you who are not engaged in prophesying to someone at the moment, I would like to ask the others of you who did come and did receive to just let us know by the uplifted hand if in fact they encouraged you and were accurate. Yes, 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 yes. That must be good then. And yes? All right. I want you to realize that these things are not far-fetched and weird. It's just God speaking to someone through someone. The important thing is that God speaks. And He speaks to. The least important is through whom He speaks. So it's never about us. We're the messengers. But we can become refined in our delivery and our representation of the grace of God. And that's part of what this is about. So we'll return to these things from time to time. If you need to leave, go in peace, be warmed and filled. No, that's not it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. You're dismissed to your connection groups, your coffee cups, your afternoon, whatever. We'll just continue to minister here as long as people are available to minister.